So let's move now to Jenny, who's going to read to us our reading.
Good morning. Today's reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 31 to 37. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. In the synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are! With authority and power he gives orders to impure spirits and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
So, as Sally said, we're in the middle of a series all about Jesus's authority. And so I looked up the definition of authority, and this is what it says. This is how authority is defined. It's the power or right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. It's a person or organization having political or administrative power and control. So it's about orders, enforcement, obedience, and control. And as I read those words, I thought, these words, they don't sound like Jesus to me. I've known Jesus pretty much my whole life, and while I do not know everything about him, he is, after all, described by Paul in Colossians as the mystery of God. In our Christian tradition, Jesus Christ as mystery does not mean that we can't know him. It means that we can never get to the end of knowing him. So there's always new depths and dimensions to Christ that we have not yet been, that have not yet been seen or reached. It's a bit like the ever-expanding universe. We will never reach the end of it. But from what I know through learning and study and through my relationship with Jesus, these are not the kind of words that come to mind when I think of my Lord and friend, Jesus. Orders, enforcement, obedience, control. In fact, from the stories I know that Jesus told, to the way he acted towards his friends, to crowds, to outcasts, and to those in power, Jesus does not enforce obedience, and he doesn't seek to control. In fact, Jesus is much more likely to open up discussion, to cause people to wonder and question, to tell stories and invite people to think for themselves, to challenge people's preconceived ideas. He heals the sick, he feeds the hungry, he sets people free. So in what way does Jesus have authority, if it's not by this normal definition of controlling people and enforcing things? Well, like most conventions, Jesus turns authority upside down. And we see this most clearly, not just in his words, but in his actions. Particularly that moment when he washes the disciples' feet. It's a really decisive and pivotal moment in the ministry of Jesus. For Jesus, by rank, Jesus is a rabbi. He's their leader and their teacher. And yet he kneels down to wash their stinky, dirty feet in order to say that this is what leadership, power, and authority should look like. And it's sort of dizzying for us because as humans, hierarchies are how we function. We need to know who is at the top, who has the power and authority. And they show us this by what they wear, by how much money and possessions they have, by their status. So humanly speaking, authority is about power, privilege, and status. Authority and power look very different to this in the body of Jesus than they do embodied in the people we might see around us, in the structures we have around us. Jesus turns authority upside down. In Matthew 20, verse 25, it says that Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them, but not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus models and embodies a very different way of authority and power. He shows us that it's exercised by serving and giving. And Jesus goes all the way, even giving his own life. Jesus is brought low to the grave in order that we can be raised with him. So with Jesus, as with his kingdom, authority is very different. It's upside down. And in today's passage, we see Jesus using his authority to set someone free. Luke tells us that the people listening to Jesus on that day were amazed at his teaching because his message had authority. Now, when rabbis taught, they supported each statement that they made with a quotation. They were always referring to somebody else. So if they wanted to make a point, they would have to say something like, "Rabbi Joseph says," and then they'd continue and they'd kind of develop that thought, or they'd question that thought and they'd elaborate on it. Also, when prophets spoke, they always said, "Thus says the Lord." It was a message from God that the prophet was delivering. They're basically just the communicator, sort of the delivery person for God's message. But when Jesus speaks, he says, "I say to you." See, Jesus doesn't need another authority to prop him up. Jesus is not a delegated authority. He is authority incarnate. In fact, writing about Jesus, Paul, in the first chapter of Colossians, writes this. He, referring to Jesus, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. So God has given authority to Jesus. Jesus not only has authority, he is authority. It says that God is happy to have all his authority placed into Jesus. He freely gives it over. And of course, within the Trinity, we see Jesus and God are sort of one thing, aren't they? With the Holy Spirit, we can separate them because it helps us understand and relate to God. Ultimately, the Trinity is one. And this is why there is no insecurity or ego boosting with Jesus. Jesus is completely secure in who he is and the authority he has. He doesn't need to impress people in order to climb the hierarchy. It says the people were amazed at his teaching because his message had authority. They could hear it in his words. They could hear his authority in what he was saying. And they're about to see it in action. So in the synagogue on that day, there's a man possessed by an evil spirit. And in apparently in Middle Eastern culture at this time, this was not an unusual occurrence. And there were lots of people who claimed to be able to exorcise demons. And these people would make money by using elaborate techniques and long-winded rituals. They'd use the roots of plants, they'd use dogs, they'd use bowls of water, and they'd do these magic chants. But the way Jesus dispatched evil spirits was something that they had never seen before. Jesus doesn't whip out any paraphernalia or start chanting. Jesus just speaks very clearly. He says, "Be quiet," and then he says, "Come out of him." And that's it. Job done. Verse 36, all the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are! What authority and power he gives." Sorry, "What authority and power he gives orders to impure spirits and they come out." And then it goes on, the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Can you imagine what it must have been like for that man who'd been possessed, overtaken by these dark forces, these forces outside of him that had inhabited and controlled him? And now with just a few words from Jesus, he is free. Remember what Jesus said when he read the scroll in the temple earlier in this chapter? Paul spoke on it last week. He said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free." And here Jesus is doing that. So we've learned that Jesus has authority, that his authority is about serving, healing and setting people free. But how does this affect us? Well, firstly, I think that we can recognise that we can turn to Christ when we feel trapped or overcome. Jesus wants to set us free. It's what he's all about. Sometimes this freedom comes instantly and miraculously, but more often It's a gradual process of walking each day with Jesus, being shaped by him, resting in him, learning his unforced rhythms of grace. Secondly, we're called to help set others free, just as Jesus did, from poverty, addiction, hatred, evil, and violence. The church is to be a sign of this coming kingdom, this new creation, the world the way God wants it. All Jesus' miracles were signs pointing towards this coming world, not after life, away from this world, but in this world, in our homes, in our communities, in our workplaces, in our schools. Life can sometimes feel painful and dark. On a personal level, we can become overshadowed by grief, stress, loneliness, relationship issues. And from some viewpoints, it may seem like evil is rife in the world everywhere. There's disease, poverty, environmental damage, abuse, injustice. But Jesus' power and authority is far greater than the power of evil. And the first step in overcoming our fear of evil is to recognize that Jesus has authority and power. Jesus has overcome evil. He has authority over evil and even death. And the power and authority of Jesus is absolute. He does not manipulate or enforce obedience. He doesn't seek to control. His power and authority is in his love, his service, and his sacrifice. I want us to take a moment to pray now that we can know that loving, self-giving power and authority in our lives and in the world. Let's take a moment to pray. As we see the authority that Jesus has, that has been given to him by God his Father, we recognize that that power and authority looks very different to how we may see it in the world. And as we come this morning, we perhaps have areas in our life where we feel overcome. Or perhaps we look out at the world and we see evil and darkness. But Lord, would you help us not to be overwhelmed and not to be overcome, but to trust in your power and authority. An authority that does not seek to enforce obedience and control people, but instead seeks to set people free. Lord, help us to be free. Free us from our addictions. Lord, free us from our sense of being overwhelmed or pressed down upon or anxious. And Lord, help us to join you in freeing the world from its oppression. Help us to join you in setting things right, in proclaiming good news to the poor, in setting the oppressed free. We can only do this through you, Jesus, and your authority. So we submit to that. We turn away from the hierarchies and the clambering for status. And we turn with humility to the God who kneels at our feet, who comes to serve, who comes to give of himself, even his own life, that we can be free. And to this power and authority that loves us, that welcomes us, we say yes and amen. In Jesus' name, amen.